What we're trying to do here is do a small part in solving what we see as one of the significant problems of our time, that is the role that money plays in our political system. It's not just a problem in Denver or Colorado, but it's a problem nationwide, and it's not something that, you know, something that people are familiar with. And the problem is, you know, of course, that people who have money tend to be able to donate to political campaigns and tend to have more influence than those who do not have money. And so there's inherent inequity there that's systemic in our political system. So the Democracy for the People initiative attempts to address this problem on the local level in the hopes that we can get it done on a statewide level and national level at some point by making our city elections more transparent and fair to the average person.
Well, I think a lot of people would connect money in politics as being a federal issue when we're seeing huge amounts of money being spent on Senate races, House races, and then, of course, the presidential race, let alone some of the initiatives. But how is this playing out at a local level, and how much money are we talking about being spent on local elections right here in Denver?
That's a great question. It's just as much, I would say, it's a more significant problem on the local level because they tend to get less attention. And so big dollars that buy things like mailers and commercials tend to have an even more significant impact than they do on the federal level with campaigns that get attention on their own. And depending on the race, if we're looking at Denver County, there's typically hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on council campaigns, millions spent on mayoral campaigns. I don't know exactly how much is spent because not all that money has to be disclosed, one problem we're trying to fix with this initiative. But the state level, for example, for a state legislature, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of dollars spent in those races. And oftentimes, the money that is spent on behalf of the candidates, also called dark money, that has been enabled by Citizens United, exceeds the fundraising of the candidates themselves. So what we're seeing is that candidates don't have to fundraise as much because there's so much special interest money being put on the outside, being spent on behalf and against candidates. And that's really where the elections are decided.
We have had a lot of discussion about how outside interests are really paying attention to local races in states all across the country, particularly with ALEC in town, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and a lot of their influence is at the State House. Could you give us an example of a lot of money being spent from outside forces influencing elections right here in Colorado?
Oh, I'd love to. So my most recent experience goes back to the primaries for Denver County politics, or Denver state politics for Denver County, I should say, last year. So in these races, it's really all about the primary because Denver is so heavily Democratic. And you would think there wouldn't be as much money in that case, but there actually was. So last year, a group called Democrats for Education Reform, which are strongly in favor of charter schools, spent over $600,000 in the primary elections here in Denver County. And they did that, of course, backing candidates who supported their views. And they had a 100% win rate. They spent more than some candidates raised altogether from the House districts, $50,000, $60,000. In some cases, we had races for House districts that were neck and neck in terms of fundraising. And then overnight, one candidate would have a 30 or 40% fundraising advantage because of that pro-charter group. And as, of course, all those candidates won, so they had a pretty good win rate. And they actually did polling to see how much money they have to spend on each race. So they're not just buying elections. They want to make sure they buy elections at a bargain. And then, of course, we had those people won their elections, and then we saw pro-charter school bills being introduced in the state legislature to get charter schools more funding. So that's a good example of them spending their money as wisely as they can, winning races, and then that turning into policy that directly affects their bottom line. Another extreme example would be Amendment 71, which passed last year, making it more difficult to get a statewide initiative on the ballot. That was almost exclusively funded by Anadarko. I believe they spent around $10 million. And that's in a campaign that only raised like $13 million total. So it's one company decided to make it more difficult to amend our Constitution, and that was an oil company. And, of course, the reason for that was because they want to make it more difficult for people to regulate activities like fracking. So they saw a good opportunity to spend some money, get a law for themselves to, again, protect their bottom line.
What would your initiative do to counteract some of that?
It's a good question. So Citizens United says that we cannot stop an individual or an organization from spending an unlimited amount in politics in this country. So there's a couple of things we can do. The first thing is transparency. So even though we can't stop from flowing in, we should at least know where that money is coming from, have a rough idea of where that money is coming from, who they're giving it to. And the state and federal level does a pretty decent job of that. We can get a rough idea. You know, we can see where Anadarko is spending $10 million. But on a city level, they don't have to follow all the same disclosure requirements. So the first thing we can do is update those regulations and make sure we know who's giving money to these local candidates on the city level. That's the first part. But the second part, and in my opinion, the most important part, is that if we can't stop that money from flowing in, that large special interest money, what we can do is try to amplify small donations from individuals. So this is similar to what exists in places like New York. They've had it for a couple decades. So what happens is the city matches small donations with a certain multiple. Now, in this initiative, what it would do is it would match donations that are $50 or less at a rate of 9-to-1. Four candidates that agreed not to take special interest money. So it makes it possible for campaigns and candidates to actually raise enough money to run a viable campaign, even if they're only courting individuals, small donations in the amount of $20, $30, $50, maybe $100. If you can do that and amplify those donations, those candidates can actually have a chance of competing with candidates who take large amounts of special interest money.